ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Time to head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. Joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. TD, good morning, man. How are we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, before I get started on the Titans, I did see that you ended up with at a career day this week, and Paul Kuharski was also there. What was that like?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, one of these kids is like, wow, look at TD over here. TD's doing his thing, and then PK shows up too. What a combo that is.
Yeah, no, it was fun, man. Just telling the kids, you know, what we do and stuff like that. Listening to Paul, he's like, you know, that you talk to the guys and talk about when they do good. Also, talk about when they do something bad. That's funny, man. Great experience, though. Shout out to College Street Elementary.
There we go. What a combo that is for the kids out there. So, TD, obviously we've talked about the schedule release. You know, it is amazing the power the NFL has on people with a schedule coming out and the amount of people that freak out about this. But I do want to kind of focus on the start here, because, you know, you think Cam Ward going to Denver in his first start. I look at, you know, the first four games, and you've got Denver and the Rams, obviously the Colts mixed in there, and then on the road at Houston too. So what do you make of kind of the difficulty level of the start of this thing from the Cam Ward perspective, as we assume that he's getting ready to go as the Titans starting quarterback?
Yeah, it's a tough start. You're going against two really good secondaries, right? When you talk about, you know, Broncos especially, it's you look and an opportunity to get an early test of where Cam Ward's at. And, you know, the good thing for his sake is, like, it's okay. It'll only get better from there. You know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to the start.
So, TD, obviously rookie camp, not the most exciting of the offseason stuff. But with Cam Ward coming in, obviously a lot of interest in that. I saw a lot of interest. Maybe too much interest in Xavier Restrepo, but people are, you know, really into that conversation either way. So that's my question for you. Your first impressions of him, and I guess from what you saw last weekend, do you feel better or worse about Xavier Restrepo ending up a part of this receiver room?
Yeah, it hasn't changed. I don't think we saw enough at one practice that was very instructional based to.
We got TD's having some connection problems. We'll get try to get reconnected with TD here in just a second. But the Restrepo conversation is pretty interesting there, as it relates to whether or not he's going to make the team, which apparently you believe 100% that he is. That's what the math said the other day with you and PK.
52%.
Automatically means 100.
Yes. Yes. 52% means 100 per Paul Kuharski. And 28% means 0 per Adam Vingan. Did Vingan apologize yesterday?
I never saw an apology.
He doubled down.
He doubled down? What?
Yeah.
Do you have the audio? Before the show ends, I need to listen to this so I can yell.
I mean, we already got you going about the NBA earlier today. Now we can get back into the math.
Thanks a lot, Ed and Adam. What do you think? Restrepo making the team or not? You're saying no.
I say no.
Okay.
But, I mean, look, I mean, the opportunity is wide open there in that room. So he's got as good of a chance here as anywhere else. I would put it out there that way.
Yeah. I got three locks.
Oh, yeah.
Three locks, right? I mean, Ridley and the two guys they
you don't think Lockett's a lock to make the team?
Okay, fine. We'll make Lockett. Okay. Lock up Lockett. All right, four locks.
TD is back with us here on the program. TD, sorry about that. Just your thoughts on the Restrepo part of this that Rexrode asked about.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. But, yeah, Restrepo, I think it hasn't changed for me, and I doubt that it would have changed or should have changed for anybody that went there to watch the practice, because it was so instructional-based and so technique-focused. So couldn't really see much, but I will say it was very clear that he played a lot of football, just how comfortable he is. He was the most comfortable out of all the guys catching the football. He was quick in his routes. Again, the routes are on air, so make of that what you will. I think he has an outside chance of making the roster, but it's going to be, it's a total uphill battle. And in my opinion, you got, you know, a group of maybe five or so guys fighting for two spots. And it's interesting because the two spots, you know, one could be a slot, one could be an X. Like, it, there's a variation. So they're not necessarily competing against each other, per se, as they are competing for, you know, the individual spots in the offense.
TD, we spend so much time on the offensive line talking about pass protection. I'm interested for your thoughts on the run blocking part of this. If it comes together the way the Titans are hoping it will with their starting five, how good of a run blocking offensive line do you think this could be? How important is the run game as a whole going to be and could be for Cam Ward as he steps into this role, do you think?
Yeah, you know, they should probably start making those run right shirts and hats, you know what I mean?
I agree.
Because you look at Kevin Zeitler, getting him in there, he's a very physical player. Big presence there at right guard, and J.C. Latham, you know, you're getting a pretty good athlete there moving over to right tackle. So I think that's going to be good. Skowronski is steadily getting better. We got to see him, you know, the size and everything is there with him when we saw him speak at one of the availabilities. And so you got that. We'll see Dan Moore Jr. with the blocking. And it's really going to all hinge upon Lloyd Cushenberry and just how he's able to come back from that Achilles.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Obviously, yeah, I just assume with a big guy, like, you have to keep the expectations reasonable. And of course, he's going to be a huge part of this line at some point, I think, next season. But what are the various contingency plans, and do they have any that you think can make it so that they're fine early in the season if he can't go?
Yeah, they have two centers behind Barry, and I mean, it's drop off, the familiarity, and he's got to start being for them next year. Probably going to be the option, but bringing some other guys, so we'll see how that whole thing works out.
Well, TD, we're looking forward to it. We got 1 week close now. The schedule reveals behind us. Before too long, training camp will be here. We're getting close. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, cool. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll get your thoughts on what TD had to say, your thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. We'll have weekend winners coming up at 8:30 here on the program as well. Competition's getting hot in weekend winners. Tight competition. We'll get into all that later in the program. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Check out Nashville's best deal of the week. It's Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. You can enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. I love that place. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. TD saying get those run right shirts and hats printed up. Feels like that combo at right guard, right tackle with Latham and Zeitler could be pretty lethal in the running game for the Titans this year.
Yeah. Maybe the Vrabel's coming back. They'll run the damn ball.
Maybe so.
T-shirt. Is that okay to wear, even though it's kind of a Vrabel thing?
What if they run for like 250 yards against the Patriots?
No.
Take some of that, Vrabel. Have some of that.
There's a thought. Ron says, I think we'll see what kind of QB we have in Cam with four of the first six games being away. And my answer is, so do you really think you're going to know what you have in him in six games?
It's pretty quick.
I mean, good, bad, in the middle. Probably be somewhere in the middle. I'd give it more time before celebrating or condemning.
I'd give it more time either way. Yep. I mean, we've seen it both ways in this league, right, where quarterbacks come in and really struggle, and then eventually they figure it out. And we've talked about that with Josh Allen, right? Like, he was not very good to start his career, and then he turned into a great player. We have seen quarterbacks come in that look really, really good in the first part of their career and then fizzle out and don't play well. You know, RG3 comes to mind. Now, some of that was injury, obviously. I mean, look, Marcus had a perfect game his first game. It was unbelievable. And that's one game, so it's a little bit, you know, kind of a hyper-focused sample size there. But, you know, I'm even of the mindset of have a really good first season. That's a great sign. I'll take it. But then go do it again. Like, show me again after that. So it's going to be a while before I think we know what they've got in Cam Ward. Yeah. Very rarely do you just know without the shadow of a doubt one way or the other after a quarterback's first year.
Yeah, like, I mean, the Houston Texans fans are excited, should be, about C.J. Stroud. But, like, it was bad enough last year that they fired the O.C., who everybody thought was about to become a head coach a year earlier. Right. So, this year, we're looking at Jaden Daniels. We're looking at Bo Nix. He was a surprise, positive surprise for the Broncos. Is he going to advance on that, or is he a one-hit wonder? Or, you know, does he level off? I mean, you definitely see both things. And you see, like, a guy who I'll go back to, again, my beloved Detroit Lions. You know, Matthew Stafford came in for an 0-16 team, showed talent. See, this is a good argument to the idea that it's just about wins. You know, Matthew Stafford showed plenty of talent and toughness in his first year with the Lions. I don't remember how many they won, but probably about four games.
Yep.
So, like, you felt good about him. You just didn't know if they were going to build a team around. But you saw the ability. I think, you know, if Cam Ward can – you can be excited about Cam Ward this year, I promise you, and they can go 4-13. That is possible. And it's just about how bad are other elements of the team. You know, you can see that. I think they're going to be pretty bad. So you have the Stroud story, the Jaden Daniels story, where a team does way better and it's driven by the quarterback. But you do also have situations where you see promise in a quarterback and the team is just too bad for it to affect the bottom line, and that's fine. It's not the number one thing you judge a quarterback on. Over time, the whole point of getting a good quarterback is to win.
Right.
But when a situation like this, Cam Ward could have a very exciting, promising rookie season and not get a lot of wins for it.
Sometimes I wonder what world people live in. I wonder what world is reality, and am I in some simulation? Like, are we not in the same kind of planet here? You know, somebody just texted in and said, "You all say that, but you bleeped on Will Levis after 1 year and are ready to ship him out." Did I miss something? Did he not play 2 years? Is he not the quarterback for 2 years here?
Yeah, I mean, a year and a half. Yeah.
Okay. So he did not – he was not quarterback for two seasons here?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
And there was actually more excitement than not. There was more positivity than negativity for him after the first year.
Yeah. I'm just making sure that I remember that correctly. And we didn't, you know, after 1 year, run him out.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is.
You know, you also have to show something when you're the quarterback for, you know, a couple of years. You can't just show nothing, right?
Well, this texter says, "I'm a Giants fan and Eli was garbage his first 3 years." I don't remember it that way. Was he garbage his first 3 years? And he wasn't Peyton, but again, Peyton was actually garbage his first year, you know? I mean, I don't know what else you call 28 picks.
I mean, Eli's second year, he threw for 3,700 yards and 24 touchdowns. He did throw 17 picks that year, but I mean,
that's not
3,800 yards, basically 24 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's not garbage. So,
I mean, Eli turned the ball over a lot early in his career, a lot. But I mean, you could see signs,
in general, right? He kind of thrown a lot of interceptions.
Yes,
kind of on the higher 17, 18.
After
he'd 20,
won a Super Bowl in 2013, he threw 27 interceptions.
25 a couple of years before that.
So Eli
led the league three times in interceptions thrown.
I didn't realize he had a 27 pick year.
Get so there James you go. To him.
You know, so Eli had limitations. He wasn't, and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame because, look, when you step up and play like he did in the biggest moments, I mean, that's an accelerator of value. But, yeah, the Levis thing is just, I mean, we've said it, I think, 10 million times. If Will Levis at some point in his career puts it all together, like, it's not going to be the most shocking thing in the world. But if you watch that team every game last year and you think that, like, they should have given him another starting year, like,
too low of standards for your quarterback.
Yeah, I don't want you in charge of my football team, I'll tell you that. It's just it's not working. It didn't work. Now, again, if you're totally on the side of it's all Callahan's fault, okay. Well, certainly the offensive line deserves a lot of blame and all the other conditions. And if Callahan's flat out bad with quarterbacks, well, we'll find out this year and he'll be gone.
Yep.
I tend to put more blame on Levis.
Yeah, we're going to find out. I mean, there is – we've talked about this a ton. There's a significant amount of pressure on Brian Callahan, not just with the overall team results, but to get the quarterback right. And that's what he's here for, is work with Cam Ward now and get this right, because if you don't, you're not going to be here. And they're going to move on from the head coach way before they move on from this quarterback, I can tell you. The first one, coach a lot of times gets the benefit of the doubt when they're coming in and it's not the quote-unquote their guy. I mean, Cam Ward will go through about like three or four coaches before Brian Callahan gets, you know, another shot at a quarterback, right? So
yeah,
we know that heading into this year. So, again, maybe – look, I'm not impressed with Callahan to this point. We'll see if there's a growth from year one to year two.
I'm not impressed with the product. I listen to him talking. I'm like, I think he gets it. I think he's smart.
I do too. Like, I think there are limitations on that in terms of, like, they all get it to a certain degree, right? Like, Brandon Staley got it in L.A. I just don't think he's a very good coach, right? Like, a very good head coach. So we'll see.
He made some wild decisions.
Yeah, I mean, some people are just not good head coaches, right? I mean, some people are really good assistant coaches, really good coordinators, and not good head coaches.
Yeah.
And I have no idea if Brian Callahan is that or not. We're going to begin to find out more about that this year.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's he's just best as a, you know, as an OC QB guy. But that's the thing. If he's good, if he is good as an OC QB guy, and that's what he should be, that's the thing with the NFL now, is so many head coaches are, because they're good at that, okay, then you're just the head coach. You call the plays. You run our offense. That's what matters. So it's like, if he's not good, and he's not good with Cam Ward, he's not good as a play caller, then it's like, assistant special teams coach?
Well, he allowed some stuff to go on the special teams front last year.
Could he possibly link up with Aukerman at some point and assist him? Certainly, somewhere.
Maybe so.
What's the thought?
Hey, maybe that's why Aukerman! Maybe that's why the Dolphins are on primetime five times this year. It's like, eh, never know what might happen with Craig Aukerman out
there,
baby.
Fireworks. The kicking game is really going to be interesting, guys. He's selling it to the network. Hey, when the Dolphins are in any sort of special teams, like, you don't know what's going to happen. We're going to have some wild.
They got Stonehouse down there, too. I mean, Aukerman Stonehouse in Miami. Hey, the last time these two were together, Stonehouse got his entire lower body broken in half. So just be prepared to show that on TV.
Yeah, this
time.
Could be a really – it could be a little gory. You know, I got to say.
I'm still amazed he ended up there.
Yeah, I think the Stonehouse thing's a mistake, man.
We're going to find out.
I understand, you know, maybe some – it's like, look, some people just aren't going to find their short game, you know. Actually, I'm sure Brett Kern has addressed this going on with Chase and Big Joe. I haven't heard it, but – I just think when you are that talented and you can do what he can do, you can keep – it's not like he never placed a punt well.
Johnny Hecker ready to come in, and it's like a nice lob wedge, baby. Going to land that thing right on the goal, right short of the goal line. Titans special team is about to take a turn for the positive.
New specialists. So that's one – I can't believe that wasn't enough to get the Titans a national game, you know.
Guys, Johnny Hecker's going to be on national TV. That's the selling point for the NFL.
Yeah, that's about what
Johnny Hecker and Joey Sly. Look at the
what
Titans
specialists.
What
do you know about Ray Finkel?
Look at those Titans specialists. Could put them out there. I mean, they could get a lot of action this year.
LD from McMinnville, who I feel like we haven't heard from a lot, says, Levis pulled a Mario in his first game, hoping Ward doesn't have that type of performance in game. Yeah, if Ward is really good in the first game, oh, no!
I said this the other day when Vingy was on. Like, you know, I'm being facetious when I say this, but I'm almost kind of rooting for him to go to Denver and, like, struggle really bad. I'm like, oh, good. Thank God. He didn't come out there and look great like Mariota and Levis did.
Did the very first outing for Locker and Young, do you remember? Nothing like memorable,
I
right?
I think VY's first start was against the Cowboys, I think. I don't remember it going
remember
especially well for
first
him.
First start, but I mean, he won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, and he got way better
his first
as it
year
went
was
on.
Great.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I could not tell you Jake Locker's
Locker
first game.
Was just bad the entire time.
And by the way,
Did Jake Locker ever have
I don't know if he really had any good games. Maybe one or two, but not really.
Could have been a hell of a safety. No, I couldn't believe that draft pick when they drafted him. Like, did you guys not watch college football? The guy couldn't hit the side of a barn. Like, what are we doing here? But Vince Young's a great example. Rookie of the Year. Again, like, oh, my God, here we go. And then it goes the other way. I think a lot of that blame goes to him, though.
Well, weekend winners coming up next. Take more of your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Rex Road have weekend winners for you. Now on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for weekend winners here on the program. Stanley Cup playoffs getting close to the conference final, as is the NBA playoffs. Have thoughts on that and more coming up in weekend winners today. Take your picks, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All of us going 3-3 last week. Ian and I got our locks. Joe Rexroad did not get his locks. Let down once again by the Chicago White Sox, who don't win a whole lot. But when Joe Rexroad picks against them, the White Sox say, you know what? I take that personally. And they go out there and win games.
Very excited about my new Pope. Respect him a lot. Really enjoy, you know, some of the worldview and a lot of things about him. Really sad that he's a White Sox fan. And maybe this is the problem, but I'm going to continue to do this. I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping for a minute. In fact, I'm up in the ante because the odds tell me I'm going to win by betting against the crappy White Sox.
Yes.
You're 0 for 2 so far.
I know. That's why I feel good about this. Like, you got to play the odds, right?
You would think. The overall standings, Rex Road remaining in first place, 36-30 overall, 7-4 on his locks, 43 points. I also have 43 points, 35-31 overall, 8-3 on my locks, good for 43 points. Ian, 35-31, really probably should be leading the competition, except he got screwed by Keezer earlier in the competition. 5-6 on his locks, good for 40 points. So only 3 points back is Ian after taking over the competition, significantly further back than that. So we'll see if Ian continues his charge up the standings. We begin with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Florida Panthers coming up in Game 6 tonight. It is win or go home for Toronto, which is Rex Road's Stanley Cup pick. Joe Rex Road, who we got tonight in Game 6 between the Leafs and the Panthers?
It's crazy that I'm doing this, but what the hell? I'm gonna What is it? Dance with the partner who brung you? Is that what the saying
That's
is?
It.
Yeah, square dancing. I'll just go with the Leafs. Why not?
Panthers lock.
That's probably the better pick.
I'm locking down on the Panthers. There's a chance they may win 9-1 tonight. They're gonna smoke Toronto mentally. I always think the Leafs are pretty fragile anyway mentally, and now that they've just lost 3 in a row, they got absolutely sandblasted the other night at home by Florida. This thing's over. The Panthers winning tonight in a runaway to advance to the Eastern Conference Final. Ian Safar, Game 6 between the Leafs and the Panthers. Who you got?
I'm also taking Florida. I'm trying to decide if I would like to lock this one down as well, considering what the others are, but I will not lock it.
Okay.
I'll go Florida.
All right, going with the Panthers.
Leafs hit rock bottom, and now it's like Rocky doing those push-ups, baby, last couple of days. Here we go.
More percentage, how much of you actually believes the pick that you just made?
11%. But according to Vingan, it's 100%. According to Vingan, that means I'm 100% that they're going to win.
Go, Leafs, go! We'll see how it goes.
Vingan doubled down on that terrible math.
The Thunder and the Nuggets in Game 7 coming up. Oklahoma City, the home team, they are favored by 7.5 in this one. I will pick with my heart in this one. I'm not a Thunder fan, but my brother's a massive Thunder fan. So I'll go with the Thunder, minus the 7.5 in a blowout in Game 7. Ian Safar, who we got? Thunder, Nuggets coming up in Game 7.
Give me Denver to cover the 7.5.
Going with the Nuggets plus the 7.5. Joe Rexroad, Denver, Oklahoma City, Game 7.
Yep, I like the 7.5 for sure, and I feel like Denver might just do this. Sorry to, you know, your brother and your Thunder fandom. I think it's going to be a great Game 7, and I think I think the Joker might just have something up his sleeve.
He's not who I want to be playing.
A lot of scratches up his sleeve and blood.
I mean, they showed him on the screen again a minute ago, and his shoulder just had like this big mark on it. I was like, golly, he just gets smoked in there every night.
Soft NBA.
Now to the individual portion of the program. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Okay, I'm going to go with my heart on this one. I'm taking the Knicks. I believe it's minus 2.5.
You are correct.
Yeah, Knicks, minus 2.5 over Boston to take the series.
Going with the Knicks, minus 2.5 against the Celtics. Joe, I will go with the Celtics, plus the 2.5 against the Knicks in Game 6 to force a decisive Game 7 back in Boston. Joe Rex wrote, your first individual selection.
I guess we all should have just picked this game, too. I'm going Robbie's way, and I hate the Celtics winning anything ever. The Knicks are such frauds. Give me the Celtics. Wow.
I got personal there at the end, Ian.
Well, Kaharski,
direct shot at your team.
This is a Kaharski argument. I'm sorry, but you know he's.
Of course, they're a contender. They've got Patrick Ewing.
They got Stephon Marbury.
Yeah,
get out there. Good stuff.
Walt Clyde Frazier coming out of the locker room makes me melt in my seat.
Right. And especially my husband, Archie Bunker.
That's maybe my favorite thing you've ever done.
Oh God.
Joe, your second individual selection.
Cubs over White Sox. Lock.
Guaranteed.
Now, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Now, here's the question. The only question is which day. Okay. So, I need to be a little bit strategic about the day. Boyd's going, all right, give me that Saturday. Saturday.
Okay, so Saturday. We're avoiding the Friday one now.
We're not avoiding it, but we're not making it our lock.
Okay. So Cubs -1.5, locking down against the White Sox on the Saturday game coming up. Ian Safar, your second individual selection.
Okay. I'm taking the Stars.
Okay.
Over the Jets.
Stars against Jets in game number 6, which would punch their ticket to the Western Conference Final.
Give us the Stars Oilers.
Against the Edmonton Oilers, which, by the way, could be.
That would be fun.
An awesome
series. Good series.
So looking forward do that if that happens. Give me the Arizona Diamondbacks -1.5 against the Colorado Rockies. I have not failed in this strategy yet. Diamondbacks -1.5 against the Rockies. At some point, they probably need to move that line back to 2.5, 3.5, but they hadn't done it yet. So give me the Diamondbacks -1.5 against the Rockies. Joe Rexroad, your third individual selection.
Cubs over White Sox today.
Cubs -1.5 against the White Sox today. So he's got Friday and Saturday covered at this point. Ian, your third individual selection.
Okay, I will go Nashville SC.
Okay.
I'm gonna go back to them.
Ooh, there we go.
They're on a heater right now. Good win, midweek win. They're playing DC United this weekend at home. I'll take Nashville SC to keep on the right track.
Nashville SC winning against DC United coming up this weekend. Give me the LA Dodgers -1.5 against the Angels in the Battle of LA, but I guess technically kind of the Battle of LA and then Anaheim and however you want to slice it over there. So there you go.
Cali.
Ian Safar, your final individual selection.
Okay, I am also going to guarantee the D-backs over the Rockies. 1.5.
You're going lock on that.
Yeah, I'm going to lock that one
against the Rockies. I mean, the Rockies are...
I mean, they had a little bit of a fire the coach rebound a couple of games, and now that they've realized that that's passed, it's back down.
We almost might need to take them off the board. You're off the board, Rockies.
We realized that we suck again, so going.
I mean, they are on an historic run.
Give me the Philadelphia Phillies -1.5 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Baseball expert Robbie Stanley checking in over here on the program. I almost did a PGA Championship bet, but that's too specific, so I'm not going to do that. Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Also, your Australian rules football pension is kind of...
We'll get to there at some point.
Fade away. Cubs over White Sox, Sunday.
The entire series. Joe Rexroad going with the Cubs against the White Sox on Sunday.
Suck it, White Sox.
-1.5. So the White Sox...
Oh, yes!
White Sox have really, really just gotten you the last couple of weeks, so you are tripling down on the Cubs against the White Sox this weekend.
I really hope Michelle Perry and Ryan from Chicago are listening today, both to that and also to the Caleb Williams conversation. It's a great day for Chicago sports fans.
It really is. This has been Weekend Winners. Take your thoughts, your picks on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get into the weekend in sports coming up next. Final thoughts on the Titans as well. Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Got some tickets giveaway to the Outlaw Music Festival featuring Willie Nelson and family, Bob Dylan, and more at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 25th. Tell you what, let's go rapid fire. First caller, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Quick draw here. Outlaw Music Festival coming up on June the 25th at First Bank Amphitheater. Caller number one will win those tickets. So if you're the quickest, you win today. We'll see how that goes here. Are you going to be at the You're not even going to be in town on June 25th, are you?
If you've been hanging out with Willie Nelson, you may not be the quickest.
You may not.
I don't know. I honestly don't even know what the heck we're doing. I'd like to go to that.
Willie Nelson still getting it done out there.
Yeah, man.
Still getting it done.
I smoke weed constantly.
That drop will never get old. Ever. DJ on YouTube says Joe is spot on doing his PK impression. This is your this newest version of your PK impression, I think, is certainly the favorite, the fan favorite.
Yeah, I like it. I will say, I've said this before, and you know, we had him on the show earlier. I don't know if I've told him to his face. I actually really like Jared's PK because it's like, it's basically like an enraged Lou Holtz.
Yeah.
Have you heard it? Like,
yeah. I've heard it.
It's pretty good. But I think the Edith Bunker is the way to go.
I agree.
When Bruce played Santa Claus Comes to Town, oh my God, it was magical.
Sorry.
Also, I love this comment from Kenny on the YouTube. It says, when TD's on this show, it's worth the time and investment to watch on YouTube. When they've got Teron on, you could suck it up and get through this show a little bit. I enjoy that. It's good.
Wait, I'm not understanding. I'm sorry.
Kenny's talking about with TD's on the show.
Yeah.
When TD's on, it's worth the time investment to watch this show on YouTube. It's like, well, we'll see. These guys kind of suck normally, but TD's
on.
Oh,
I get it. Okay. I thought it was like when he's on, like our expression. Like, okay. Now I understand. Yeah.
I don't think Kenny means it that way, but I just found that funny.
That is funny.
It's the way I read it.
Someone might pick, yeah. People like the
impression. People really love
Paul.
Your PK impression
like
here.
Trevor, happy birthday on June 25th. Go see Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
Be caller one. Caller one is on the phone with Ian right now. I hope it was you, Trevor.
I hope it was, too. I am very much looking forward to Toronto, Florida tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, the conference finals that we have, I'll be honest with you, I'm not overly excited for Florida, Carolina, if it plays out that way. Like, Carolina is a good team. They've been a good team for a long time. They're not overly exciting to me. So we'll see what that looks like. Edmonton, Dallas could be awesome.
Yes.
I mean, that's what the Western Conference final was last year. And I think Dallas is better this year. And Edmonton, I mean, they could just go thermonuclear at any moment with McDavid and Drysdale. So I still think, like, somebody texted earlier if I thought that Edmonton will win it this year. I don't. They can. I rank them right now, Joe. Dallas is my number one team. Florida's number two. I'd go Edmonton 3 and Carolina 4 if it shakes out that way.
I don't think it's going to happen. I picked with my heart, but it would be so fun if we were at the conference final level with a chance still at the All-Canada final. You know, I just really wish the Leafs didn't suck. Why do the Leafs always suck? So this person says, Joe impersonating PK impersonating Jared. Have I done that?
You have. I think you just did. Well, you did. You've done PK impersonating Jared, yes.
Well, PK impersonating Jared's like, yes, right? We have that one, too.
I think that's it.
Daddy, I may now say you suck. Everyone sucks. Goo goo gaga. Suck, suck, suck.
I mean, I can't do that justice. That's those two drops, the PK weed one and the Jared one, are probably the best two drops we have, right? Like, I mean, they're pretty freaking good.
We got some good ones.
We
got some Jeremy Pruitt drops. We got, you know, Scott Stapp is in our arsenal.
Yeah, Scott Stapp is pretty
good. We got
some
good ones on this program.
We got quite a repertoire.
We do. Ed says, Joe, wishing you a wonderful weekend of watching modern NBA hoops. Hoping you can find the time between TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah, I don't have a TikTok or Instagram account, Ed. I just like good sports.
I think you're still a little upset at Ed.
Love Ed on the program. Just, like, Ed is someone I count on to have a level-headed opinion. I think his thoughts on the Titans are great. You know, he's a Titans fan going back to when they were the Houston Oilers, living in New Jersey, which, of course, is something that bothers Kaharski. But it's just that it's amazing to me how many people have this stupid opinion of the NBA. It's insane to me. You agree with me.
I do.
Why do I get so upset about it? It's just like everything else we all can agree. I think, I don't know, maybe there's some people like, oh, no, the 85 Bears would kick the crap out of the Chiefs. You know what the Chiefs 85 Bears score would be? It'd be about Chiefs 63, 85 Bears 10. Okay? All right, they wouldn't score 63. They'd score a lot of points. Bigger, stronger, faster, more skilled, better training. You know, one of my buddies texted me, HGH. Yeah, there's that too. But it's we all agree that everything progresses, but somehow the NBA just stopped in 1989.
See, he began the show getting fired up about this, Ian, and he's closing it out heading into the weekend that way. That long fuse back long on display fuse. Again.
I could do a whole show on this. Maybe we should. Like in the summer, you know, you're searching for topics. Can we do a whole show? Get in some different things. Maybe I'll get like Rick Mahorn on here to admit, hey, Rick, what if you went on the court right in your prime, in your athletic prime, and you went on the court today? What would happen? Now, he might be one of these delusional
old heads.
Do you think
he would say that? I'd punch somebody.
Yeah, well, right. You know, Lambeer and I would beat the crap out of Jordan like we used to. But, like, I think most people understand. Like, it's not even close. Let's kind of let us know.
You're going to make some people mad by saying the 85 Bears would get destroyed by the Chiefs.
Is there anybody out there who we have 30 seconds left who thinks like the 85 Bears just transported to 2025 would win a game?
I guarantee you, I know somebody who thinks that.
They were so tough. Oh yeah, they were. Yeah.
Big Joe Dubin will not stand for that. Oh, I guarantee it.
Big Joe, I want you to answer that question. This is.
Unfortunately, he's not on the show.
He's not
today.
In today.
But I don't care. Tweet at me, Big Joe. Don't you dare say the 85 Bears will win a single game in the NFL right now.
A single game. Have a great weekend, folks.
Get killed.
Have a great weekend. That does it for us today. Jason Big Joe up next. I'll be on Jason Big Joe at 9:30. Make sure you tune in for that.
Nice.
Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.